You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
Here's what's cooking on today's Sports Dough Fantasy Baseball Show. We're talking pitchers, relief pitchers, starting pitcher rankings, and the latest in Major League Baseball news. That's what's cooking on today's Sports Dough Fantasy Baseball Show.
Play ball!
Welcome in to an all-new edition of the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show, presented by Righteous Felon Jerky, SeatGeek, and, of course, BellyUpFantasySports.com. I'm your host, Vin Stover, and I am joined this week, as I am every week, by the senior fantasy writer from BellyUpFantasySports.com, the one and only Kevin Wilson. Hey, Kev, how you doing?
We're doing good, and we talked a little bit pregame as to that it's a little frosty here, not quite as frosty as you, but we survived this week. We had snow here, and so we lived through that, and but we're back to being frosty again, so we're making the best of it and doing what we can.
Well, I'm sipping on my hot cocoa in my Milwaukee Brewers mug. It's officially baseball season in the Stover house. The Green Bay Packers eliminated last night from the NFL playoffs. So we are officially baseball bound in this house.
Okay. Not quite as happy as it was last week.
No, content, but not happy, I would say, at the very least. But I'm excited about today's show. We do want to remind people though, about our sponsors, Righteous Felon Jerky. You can go to righteousfelon.com. Use the code STOVE15 at checkout. You're going to get 15% off your order. I just ordered some, and it's in route to my home. Currently, it's in Indiana, according to the tracking. So it should be here to Kentucky, hopefully Monday or Tuesday. So some of that coming in. Also, SeatGeek, if you're going to go buy tickets anywhere, you need to go check out SeatGeek.com. There's a code there, BellyUpSports. You're going to get $20 off your first purchase there at SeatGeek. And then BellyUpFantasySports.com, your one-stop shop for all things fantasy, and where you'll find all of Kevin Wilson's articles at BellyUpFantasySports.com.
Well, yeah, let's get into the show. I used the SeatGeek, Vince, so yeah. I can tell you that it's solid. So just make sure you use the BellyUp Sports, and it's all capitalized, I believe, is the correct way to get your discount. So
and I think at the end of the day, you can put it in however you want as long as you get the words in. But the capitalization is the way it's listed in many places. Either way, make sure you get the code in.
It's a solid thing. If you're looking for any kind of tickets, go there first.
SeatGeek will take care of you. All right, let's kick off segment number one of today. We'd like to call our Fantasy Burner. And our Fantasy Burner segment is presented by SeatGeek. We were just talking about them. So like I said, if you're going to go to a concert, go to a ball game, maybe you're starting to look into some basketball tickets or some other things going on around you, well, you go to SeatGeek.com, type in that code BellyUpSports at checkout. Get $20 off your first purchase there on the website. For our Fantasy Burner segment today, Kev, we wanted to talk relief pitchers. We're going to be ranking starting pitchers later in the program. But I wanted to kind of touch base on drafting strategies. You and I had take a little bit different approaches sometimes on these relievers. And so I thought it'd be a good conversation to have Going into this year, you've got your mainstays there, Devin Williams, Emmanuel Clase, Josh Hader, Edwin Diaz coming back from injury, David Bednar. They got some different guys there. But, you know, I'm very much an anti-drafting saves guy. For me, they always go too high. It's not worth that part of the draft for me. So I like to wait, grab some later in the draft, a couple guys that could get some saves, and then just hit the waiver wires heavy as the season gets going to try to find some saves on the waiver wire. I don't know. What's your strategy when it comes to relief pitchers?
Well, I take a pretty wide berth, if you will, when it comes to relief pitchers, closers, whatever, in general. I'd much rather have starters on my team because you know when they're going to go. You can expect, you can plan on that. And because I have tried that. I remember a couple years ago, I took Josh Hader, and you said immediately, I wouldn't have taken him there. And you turned out to be correct. And so I think a lot of guys will take the top of the line closers a little earlier than they probably should. And so I may have one when I come out of my draft, I might have one, two at the most on my fantasy team. And then like you, I might, depending on the matchups and whatnot during the season, do that and rotate guys in, rotate guys out. Cause you know, I'm a rotate in, I'll rotate out anyway.
Yeah.
So if you're a relief pitcher guy, then you know, don't be looking for me for strategy on that because I don't have a lot of them on my team to begin with.
Now, I've been burned by the trade deadline where I got a guy who's closing, he's getting saves, but then he gets traded to a team that already has a closer, and he ends up being the setup guy for the stretch run, what ends up being the fantasy baseball playoffs, and loses value at that point as well. So, to me, I got to look at which team they're on to. I don't want a closer that's on a losing team because the save opportunities are few and far between. So, David Bednar, for instance, he's ranked number 9 on Fantasy Pros. His ADP is 79.
Yeah, he's number 7 on ESPN. That's way too high to me.
He's undraftable for me, Kevin. I'm not going to draft the Pirates closing pitcher. Like, to me, no matter how good he is,
he might it's come limited in opportunity. Yeah. And then when, you know, the problem with that is, the real problem, is a guy doesn't pitch very often. He might come in when it's 6-1 or 8-2 or something like that. And that's when relief pitchers get blowed up.
Yeah.
Because there's no drama. There's no, you know, closers want that adrenaline that, you know, it's a one-run game. You get maybe a guy on base, whatever. And if it's 8-1, you're not going to get that. And so that is a real issue. I think Bednar, as you mentioned, is a real guy that he won't be on my fantasy team at all. And he's a guy that you could look at, maybe get traded, and then he may have some value
right
on another team. But by the time all that happens, he's already on somebody else's team. So
yeah. Who would you say is that top grouping of relievers this year that if they fall to the right spot, you say, man, I'm gonna grab that guy because he's one of the top guys?
Well, until Friday, I had your guy, Mr. Williams, at the top of that list. He's a guy that he comes in, he strikes out people all over the place, and he's got that ability. But since Josh Hader, as I just mentioned a little bit, and we'll talk about him in our next round too, but he just signed with the Houston Astros, which massively upgrades him to me. Going to the Astros, and Ryan Pressly gets pushed down, so I have no interest. I had him last year, and he didn't have a great season. And so, but he's a good, he'll be a good, their bullpen will be pretty backloaded. You know, they'll have a lead and be able to protect it. So I'm going to put Hader at my number one spot just simply because he's pitching for the Astros. They're a winning organization. They're going to be in the lead a lot. And so he's going to get plenty of opportunities to nail down saves for them.
Yeah, I still have Williams at the top. Now, I know I'm a Brewers fan. I feel like I do a pretty decent job of not being super biased. Or when I am being biased, I make it clear that I'm being biased at the same time. I'm curious to see with Houston, having two really solid back end guys. I'm curious if maybe they go a little matchup oriented and maybe you see Hader pitch some eighth innings while you see Presley get some closing opportunities. You wouldn't think that'd be the case, but the way Hader's pitched the last couple of years, there's the potential that he doesn't hold that position tightly. So that worries me a little bit. I still have Hader in the top grouping, but I'm not sure that I've got him at one at this point. I kind of, for me, and it'll be after the drafts, but I'm more of a wait and see on Hader. He's got the talent. There's no doubt about that. But I mean, he wanted the big contract. He got the big contract. And sometimes guys fall off when they get paid.
I was really surprised that he got the contract from Houston, given what they had there already. And you make a really good point right here, because Hader is a left-handed pitcher. Mm-hmm. Ryan Presley is a right-handed pitcher. So maybe if a lineup has more right-handers in it, he might get the call.
Yeah.
So that's something to keep an eye out for, that, you know, while we're talking about this, just came to my mind that you might be right. Matchups may dictate who Houston uses in their closer spot. But I still think Hader is going to get it. They didn't give him all that money for him not to,
right.
to get, you know, he's going to be their guy.
Yeah. And
like I said, Presley, disappointed. He still had, he was okay. But as I always say, okay is not the bar. It never is in just about anything. It's not fantasy baseball either. So the other guys, Class A, as you mentioned, I got him. Duvall from San Francisco is a guy that people overlook, but he had 40 saves last year. And Edwin Diaz is the interesting guy to look at, because he missed all of last year. You don't know what you're going to get out of him. So he's a guy that if you're even thinking about drafting him, you better pay attention to the spring training, see how that goes. And but I expect that he's going to be back to what he was, because he's had a whole year off.
Yeah, so I put a question mark next to his name. And again, I am a little bit less likely to take a risk at this position. So it's highly unlikely I end up with Edwin Diaz on any of my fantasy baseball teams, just because to me, it's not worth the risk. If he's not back into form and I draft him in, say, the sixth or seventh round, which is where he's going right now, I would say, you know, man, I probably could have gotten better value somewhere else, especially if he's not back to form. Now, if he comes back and he is what he was, but how many save opportunities are the Mets going to have this year? That's a conversation we'll have on another day. But that one scares me a little bit. So I'd be shocked if I end up with Diaz. You know, if you're going for saves, it makes sense to go get Diaz. He was the best in the league before he got hurt. So, I mean, it makes sense to go for him. I'm so anti-drafting saves in the top half of the draft that I'm probably not going to – I would be shocked if I end up with Edwin Diaz on any of my teams this year. But it'll be fun to see if he is back. He's energetic. He brings a lot of electricity to the field when he comes in. You mentioned Duvall from San Francisco. I got him a little lower than most people, not drastically. I think I have him at six or in that range, six or seven. He's going to be decent again. He'll provide things. But I like the two guys, Yoan Duran from Minnesota. And then I also like Jordan Romano from Toronto. I feel like those guys have opportunities to get a fair amount of saves. So I look at those guys. But here's what I'm surprised about, Kevin. Paul Sewald from Arizona. He drops way down the list. He's number 11 on Fantasy Pros. And I think he's lower than that on ESPN, if I remember right. Yeah, that one pulled up.
Yeah, he's 16th.
Yeah, that blows my mind.
Yeah, and he's pitching for the National League champions, of course. And there's every opportunity for Arizona, because remember, they only won 84 games last year. There's every opportunity that they're going to be much better this year. So I see a lot better chances for him. And when he's come in, he's dominated. So if you're looking for a pitcher that you can maybe take a little bit later, here's the guy that you most certainly want to take a look at. I think there's value here, real value, because he's going after Kenley Jansen, who I want absolutely nothing to do with whatsoever. I know he's a former Dodger and everything else, but he hasn't been dominating. And so if I was to have to pick, if you put a gun in my head and said, hey, pick one of these dudes, Hanley Jansen's not coming down. And Seawald would. So
yeah, there's a he's going right after Helsley and St. Louis as well, and the ADP at the very least. It's a wild spot. And then Evan Phillips is the other guy, the Dodgers closer. Now, there was talks about them getting possibly Hader. So maybe that's why his ADP is so low right now. Maybe now that Hader's off the board, his ADP will start going up. People might have been afraid to draft him. But he's pretty low too, and I'm surprised by that, being that the Dodgers should be a really good team again this year.
Right, and they've got him ranked after Alzolay. I got that correct, from the Cubs. And that's way too low to me. So there's two guys right there you might want to take a look at that you could take a little bit later in the draft and still come away with saves.
Yeah.
So
I feel like
the same thing. Don't be taking these dudes way high up in the draft, because you can get value much later.
Yeah. And listen, I'm a huge Brewers fan. I love Devin Williams. Not to say that I wouldn't draft him if he's there, you know, in the late third round, early fourth round. Would I get him just because I like him? Maybe. But usually when it comes to saves, I did this when Hader was with the Brewers, and you were talking about this earlier. You drafted him, and I'm like, listen, he's a great closer. I just can't take a closer at that point in the draft. Like, I have to wait later when you can get these guys. Baltimore, I think they're going to have – I'm not sure they've settled on who their closer is going to be, whether it's Yanir I forgot his last name. But they also signed Craig Kimbrel. So, I mean, they got some, I think, competition at that closing spot this year, too.
Yeah, if you want to take Kimbrel, you go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
I'm not touching him.
Yeah, Yanir Cano is the guy I was thinking of. And right now he's being drafted lower than Kimbrel is. But again, I think there's guys available later in the draft that you can get. And I'm a big fan of just drafting one guy to get saves later in the draft and then hitting the waiver wire as hard as you can as soon as teams start playing well and guys steal that role. Or you get a guy who gets injured 3 weeks into the season and you go snag that setup guy that now becomes the closer. And all of a sudden you're sitting pretty and you didn't have to waste draft capital on a guy that didn't last very long. So what's the earliest you would take a closer? In ADP right now, Devin Williams is 39 overall. And then next is 42, 43. And then it jumps off until the 60s after that. What's the earliest you feel comfortable with taking a closer?
Well, you know, we talked because I think Hader, what was it? I did that in the fifth round. I think it was.
It may have been fourth or fifth,
Fourth or fifth, yeah. So, you know, that's a mistake. I won't do that again. And so I'm looking maybe seventh round, eighth round, somewhere in there. And so all the guys that the top guys will be gone by then. But I still think that there'll be a guy that's some of the dudes we just talked about that will be there, who will get you 30 saves, 32 saves, whatever, and will be much more valuable. And I'll take a starting pitcher back in the fifth round or fourth round.
Right.
And because there'll be some solid – we're going to talk about that a little bit later. Some solid starters will be available in that point of the draft that I would much rather have than a closer.
Yeah, I'm honestly probably waiting until about the 12th round before I even start sniffing at closers. I need three solid starting pitchers, and I'm going to need to get a bunch of offense in there before I start getting saves. Because it's just not as – I mean, there are points. We play in a points league. I play in a categories league as well. I mean, you get things for them, but at the end of the day, you're going to get more points traditionally out of your starting pitchers than you are your closers, and I'm just not going to waste my time on them.
Right, and the thing that scares me off about – relief pitchers or closers is if they come in and get blowed up,
you lose points.
I've had it where a pitcher came in and it was negative 12.
Yeah.
And it's hard to recover from negative 12 during, because each week in our league, each week is a scoring. And so now you're behind because you got to make up 12 negative points somewhere along the way.
Yep.
And a starter, of course, is going to get, if he gets two runs in the first, he's still got the second, third, fourth, fifth inning to generate some positive points.
Yep.
But like I said, like Badar is this guy that would really scare me because he'll come in, like I said, and get blowed up. He'll give up three runs and get one out. And your ratios are ruined after that.
Yeah. I agree. All right. That's segment number one, Fantasy Burner, presented by SeatGeek. Go to SeatGeek.com. Use that promo code BellyUpSports to get $20 off your first purchase. Let's head into segment two, our call to the bullpen. All right. We're going to talk some Major League Baseball news. Next week, the plan is to have the first guest on of the season, Eric Katz from BellyUpSports.com, baseball writer. Should be with us next week. But this week, it's just you and me, Kev. And let's start with the Josh Hader signing. We've talked a little bit about it already. He was patient. He waited. We knew he would because of his agent. He got some money and goes to a AL-leading team in the Houston Astros. A good landing spot for Hader and a pretty good get for the Astros, right?
I was surprised that this happened. But when thinking about it, it makes – all the sense, because now Houston, they've got pretty much a 7-inning game.
Yeah, you're right.
Right? And yeah. So, because you're going to have two of the best pitchers coming in the 8th and 9th inning. And so, and their starters are pretty good. They go 6 innings or so most of the time. So, I think this really shortens the game for them. And I think I like it. I like it a lot. As far as the signing goes, I don't know if I like him, you know, going to the Astros too much, but but beyond that, I like the signing. I think it makes sense for them, for both of them. And they signed him for 5 years, which to me is insanity. I'm not giving a relief pitcher 5 years because he might be done after 3. So
yeah.
Other than that, I think that they're both going to benefit well from this. At least this year they will.
Yeah, I think it works out well for both teams. I think Hader, listen, I really like Josh Hader. I'm still a fan of his from his time in Milwaukee. He got traded at the right time.
Very right time. Milwaukee did just that.
And the problem is
he was traded. He was in the midst of a family situation, and yeah. His mind wasn't where it should have been. And so all that happened is all water under the bridge or wherever it goes. And so that worked out well for the Brewers.
Well, the problem was they didn't get pieces back that actually helped them. So they got rid of Hader at the right time. They just didn't get anything back that actually ended up being that useful for him. But I think the Astros is a good fit for him. It's a good team. He'll be able to pitch there. He'll pitch well, I'm sure. I don't know that he'll be back to his peak performance, but I think he'll be good, really good there as well. Kind of a sentimental news story. Baker going home to San Francisco as a special advisor. He got his World Series. He's well respected across the league. Dusty Baker's who we're talking about, and he spent a lot of time in San Francisco. Now he goes back as a special advisor. I like these kind of stories, Kevin. I like when people go back to where they're most well-known, at least he was in his managerial time. And I think it's neat, a neat story, and I'm happy for him, happy for Giants. My dad was pretty excited about it, being a Giants fan too. So I know you hate the Giants with everything in your body.
Yeah, I have to overlook that when it comes to your dad because, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like I was telling my wife that I'd rather stick my head in the oven than praise anything about the Giants or the 49ers for that fact. But Dusty and the Giants do go together like, you know, bread and butter. So I'm not sure what a senior advisor does, but
whatever they a lot of money, that's what he does.
That's right. So that's a fit that works extremely well all the way around.
Not a lot of other signings other than Hader. And maybe with the Hader signing, things will open up a little bit. Blake Snell still sitting out there without a job. Are you surprised by that?
I'm a little, but given that what he turned down from the Yankees, which was a good chunk of change, that if that's not good enough, I don't know what team he thinks is going to give him that. And so he might have to adjust that a little bit, or, you know, get some other teams somehow involved. There needs to be a bidding war going on for him, and it's not happening so far. And but he's the kind of pitcher that, as the spring training comes closer, people are going to say, "Hey, he's the two-time Cy Young winner." So he will be in demand somewhere along the way, but that price is going to have to adjust at least at the outset.
I mean, he only has, it was reported yesterday, it's the only offer he's received.
That's right.
The one from the Yankees. Now, maybe he's going to sign like a one-year deal. One of these one-year $20 million or $40 million or who knows what, but a one-year deal to go pitch somewhere next year and then try again the following year. Stroman signed with the Yankees, so they got a pitcher.
Which I'm not jumping up and down about.
Right, but Snell, I don't think Montgomery's – I haven't seen where Montgomery's signed.
Montgomery has not signed at all, and so that's really surprising.
Yeah.
When you talk about a guy, he's a good team fit, and so everything that I've seen on him, he's coming back to the Rangers.
Okay.
They just got to, smooth out some taxes and whatnot else, but I fully expect that he'll come back to the Rangers, and that'll be big for them if they do that.
Yeah, Cody Bellinger, the other big-name free agent that hasn't signed anywhere yet.
Right.
It just seems like the Cubs is where he's going to end back up at.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. I'd just like to know what exactly he's asking for, because if he's asking for what his season last year would say that he should get, people are going to be pretty, wait a second, because the first two, last 2 years before that, you disappeared from the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Completely. And, irrevocably. So people are not going to be, maybe he's a guy that needs to sign a one-year deal and do it one more time, and then he might be able to cash in. And the Cubs are the only team I see that's willing to deal with him.
Well, Bellinger's agent is well known for waiting as long as possible to sign somewhere. What are we, like 30-some days away from reporting, I think?
Yeah.
So give it another 20 days or so, and then Bellinger will re-sign with the Cubs. And unless maybe, San Francisco is a team to watch here. They've been trying to sign big-name free agents for a while and had a hard time doing it. Maybe they sweep in with an offer that's enough to get Bellinger to move somewhere else. But the Cubs seem to be the likely landing place for him as well. But we'll see. I mean, Snell's the only guy in my rankings, we'll talk about this in a moment, that isn't currently on a team in my starting pitchers rankings. Montgomery, of course, is good. He didn't really make my list of guys to talk about today. I don't know. It's been more trades than free agency this year. Shohei was the big free agent, of course. But other than that, it's been mainly the trades, Juan Soto and things like that. So it's been kind of a boring offseason outside of the Shohei stuff.
Yeah, since we got past December. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Cardinals, as we talked about last week, striking right out of the gate. And so you thought, maybe things will heat up, but they have not. And so we'll see. I'm sure guys will be signing, and we'll have all kinds of things to talk about in future episodes. But right now, the well is pretty dry.
I agree. All right, so not a whole lot happening this week. So that's going to be it for our what is this segment called again? Call to the Pin. There it is. Presented by RighteousFelon.com.
Right, awesome music that goes along with
it. Yes. Yeah. So it's time to join the flavor revolution. You can do it at RighteousFelon.com. Use the code STOVE15, that's STOVE15, you're going to get 15% off your purchase. And I will say this, I am a legit customer. They did send me some free jerky back when I started the local hour season up back in September, August, somewhere in that range, which I greatly appreciated. But I have purchased more jerky than they've given me. And I'm a huge fan of Righteous Felon jerky. I love their flavors. The tenderness of the jerky, I promise you, it's unlike anything you've had before. The packaging and marketing is incredible, by the way. But the flavor's great. The texture's awesome. You will not regret it. Go try the Bootleg and Barbecue. It's my favorite flavor out there. They've got Soul Survivor, which is a teriyaki, Korean teriyaki, or Korean barbecue, excuse me, which is really good. They've got a Foul Capone. It's a turkey jerky. Very, very good. They got all kinds of stuff. Bourbon Franklin, sweet. I mean, I'm telling you, they got it all. So go try it. RighteousFelon.com. Stove15 at checkout. Get you 15% every single order that you make. You won't regret it at all. Let's get into our player rankings. We're finally getting there. That's our fantasy focus segment. All right, Fantasy Focus is presented by BellyUpFantasySports.com, your one-stop shop for all things fantasy. Right now, there's stuff up, actually some football stuff still there with some betting things and things like that. Also, basketball, hockey, and, of course, fantasy baseball articles up on BellyUpFantasySports.com. And like I said earlier, you get all of Kevin's articles there on BellyUpFantasySports.com. And we greatly appreciate the support of Belly Up Media and the Belly Up Fantasy Sports folks as well for this program. So we're finally getting to player rankings, and that's the whole reason we do this show before the season starts, is to talk about player rankings, and we've made it to that point. We're going to start with starting pitchers, Kevin, and this year, as opposed to going 1 through 10 like we've done in the past, we're going to do more tiers this year and kind of talk about different tiers of players, and it'll allow us to talk about a few more players as well as kind of, I think, better point out where we're drafting guys, because when you're ranking just a position, it doesn't really help you to know where you're drafting guys. So I think tiers will help with that. And then we'll also, after we do our tiers, we'll look at best value. You could call it a sleeper if you wanted to sometimes, depending on who it is. Worst value or bust. And then I've got also a mid or late tier value guy as well. So we'll jump into all that. But let's start at the top of the pitching tier. And I've got three guys in my tier one, which for me is guys that I'm willing to take in the first or top of the second round. And I think we got to start with Spencer Strider, right?
We do. We absolutely do. I have two guys, which I call the elite of the elite.
Okay.
Okay. So and I agree with you. Not a lot of people are so far agreeing that Spencer Strider is the top fantasy starting pitcher. I think he is. A lot of people are taking Gerrit Cole, which I have also in that top two ranking, and you could take him and be happy with that as well. But Strider, he's going into his third year, and you talk about a guy who he's got strikeout potential that's higher than any other starter, and I think he's going to put it all together this year. He's the only 20-game winner in the major leagues last year. His ERA is a little high, but it was 2.67 the year before. So, and we saw the same thing happen. Gerrit Cole's ERA was 3.50 when he was trying to figure out how to throw a ball that didn't have tack on it or whatever. But then it went down to 2.63. So, yeah. I think Strider can have the same kind of thing. His ERA is going to come down. I like it. He's only 25. He's a guy, especially in point leagues like we are, he'll give you the strikeouts that no one else will.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think Strider is clearly the number one pitcher. I don't think there's any question about it. The team is good, so they're going to score runs. They're going to give him support. The back of the end of the bullpen is good, so they're not going to blow a whole lot of games for him. I think he's the safest pick because he is young. I don't see why you wouldn't take him as the first pitcher overall. I've got Gerrit Cole there as well. I mean, as much you can hate on Gerrit Cole all you want to in fantasy levels, he's the guy. I mean, he's there every single year. He has been before he came to New York. He has been since he came to New York. And so he is still there. And I got Burns there. And here's the reason why. First of all, Burns is a phenomenal pitcher. Secondly, Burns is out to prove some things this year. Contract coming up. He's probably his last year in Milwaukee. So he's starting to look for another team, and he's going to want to make sure that he puts his best foot forward this season. I expect him to be focused, dialed in, and I'm telling you, when Burns is dialed in, he is one of the top pitchers in the league. And so I still have him in that top tier. I do have him as the third guy in that tier for what it's worth. I think it goes Strider, Cole, Burns. The ADP matches up with that, but there have been more people taking Burns ahead of Cole than people taking Cole ahead of Strider for what it's worth as well. So Burns has had, he goes up and down different places. But I've got him all three there. Strider's probably the only first round pitcher for me. In a 10-man league and a 12-man league, then I would extend Cole to the first round and I'd put Burns in the second round there. So I put them all three though in the top 20 picks.
Oh, absolutely. Cause I've got Corbin Burns next, and I have three guys that are in this tier, which I call Ace of the Aces.
Okay. I like it.
So Corbin Burns is there. Zach Wheeler is there. And Kevin Gausman is there in that particular rankings to me. So all three of those guys, I would probably, if I was drafting it, maybe at the end of the first round, if Garrett Cole still hanging around, I might have to jump up and get that. But all these guys are second round, probably going to have to go high in the second round to get either of those guys. But when it comes to the Aces of the Aces, these are the three guys that I have at the very top of that list that you could have, you know, taken over at the top of your rotation and feel very, very good about it.
It's interesting. So I actually have more guys in my tier two than I do in my tier three. And I agree with you with Gallen and Wheeler. I've got Gausman down in my tier three. I'm just not big on Kevin Gausman. And so I dropped him down a bit. But in my tier two, I included Luis Castillo in Seattle, who had a really good year last year, and Pablo Lopez from Minnesota as well. So I've got Gallen, Castillo, Lopez, and Wheeler as my tier two. I don't think there's a ton of separation this year between, and from my opinion, in my top three tiers. I think they're all within the top five rounds, maybe, to get one or two of these guys. Gallen is Gallen. He did his thing. He was great last year. Yeah, he did his thing. He was great. Wheeler showed up. He overtook Nola. He was the guy in Philadelphia. And then Lopez, Castillo, let's go. I'm talking about Castillo. Castillo was amazing last year in Seattle. And a lot of people didn't realize it because still nobody watches Seattle.
You talk about Zach Wheeler. He's had four straight seasons of 30 or more starts. So he's got to go up into this top of the eight. Because I got Corbin Burns ahead of him, but Zach Wheeler is the guy that you know is going to give you 30 starts every year. And so there's no guessing when it comes to that, even though he is 33. A lot of these guys that we're talking about are in their 30s.
Yeah.
And so, but they're not 38 or 39. There's some guys that we can talk about a little bit later that are that way. But so I got those goes Burns, Wheeler, Kevin Gausman. I like him. I didn't like him as much as Nick last year, who took him in the very first round. But he pitches for a team that puts up runs. Yeah. And so and he made 31 starts and 185 innings, 237 strikeouts. So he's the guy that has a high strikeout rate as well. So
here's something interesting about Kevin Gausman. He is rostered everywhere in ESPN, but in Yahoo, he's only rostered 94% of leagues. I'm not sure what those 6% of leagues are doing to not have Kevin Gausman rostered.
You might want to rethink your strategy if he's not even on a roster.
That one surprised me, but he's 33, like you mentioned. I mean, they're all there. They're good. They're all good pitchers.
Wheeler's 33. Corbin Burns is 29. That's one of the things he's got going for him. And as you said, I think him going to his free agency season is a big incentive for him. As he tried to get a contract from the Brewers. The Brewers were like, I don't think so. So I don't think the Brewers will be able to offer him anything to keep him off the free agent market.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, he's going to be a free agent.
He's going to be a free agent, and he's going to he might kick and scream his way up into that top tier, and just because of that alone.
And by the way, Pablo Lopez, who I've got in my tier two, is only 27, so he's on the younger end of these pitchers, closer to Strider's age.
Right, and so I've got my third tier is what I'll call Aces, And that tier, I've got Zach Gallen, as you've talked about him a moment ago, Castillo you talked about, and Pablo Lopez are all three of them that I put into that tier. Aces of aces. No, it goes the top of the pyramid, aces of aces, and now we're on aces to me. And so these are three guys that you can get at the top of your rotation and not have to use quite the draft capital that you would have to do to get these other guys that we just talked about.
Yeah, I want to get at least one of the guys that we've just talked about. For me, it's the top two tiers. For you, it's the top three tiers. I want one of those guys at the very least on my team. For me, tier three, I've got Gausman in tier three with Aaron Nola and George Kirby. And those are the only three that I have in that tier. The next tier is the biggest tier I've got. But that tier, again, I want one of those three guys also. So I want one of those top, top seven guys. And then I want one of these guys also. And then I'll be pretty comfortable if I have two of these guys on my roster heading into round seven or eight, somewhere in that range.
I'm totally with you on that one. And then my next tier is who I have, you know, the head of the rotation guys. And in that tier, I got Max Fried. And then George Kirby, as you mentioned. And then I got Aaron Nola. And Aaron Nola gets put in this tier just simply because he's not the top rotation guy in Philadelphia. He'll still get his starts. He had 32 a year ago, so he'll get those starts. But he's not the top of the rotation guy, even though I have him in this tier of the top of rotation.
he would be anywhere else. Yeah.
Right. But he goes and slots in some of these other guys we're going to talk about a little bit later. But those three guys, I think Max Fried is one dude that gets totally overlooked. And he pitches. And he's not a top of the rotation because he's got Strider ahead of him too. But on any other team, he would be at the head of their rotation. And he's 30. And he's made 30 and 28 starts. He had some injury issues a year ago, but 30 and 28 starts years before that. So I think he puts an injury pass behind him from last year. And but he was on the field. He was 8-1. So he is a guy that if he's my number two guy, mm-hmm. or your number three, your rotation's solid.
Yeah. Now I'm hoping people rank like you do, because I'm going to have Aaron Nola on every league I'm in. but you're not the only one that's doing that. So I've seen Nola pretty low on some lists, and I've been surprised by it. As a matter of fact, on Fantasy Pros, I think Nola is down. Gracious, he was down a ways, and now I can't even find him. That's how far down he is. Let's see, I can adjust that. I can't find him now. I'm overlooking him somewhere. Anyways, he's at 12 in Fantasy Pros, but I've seen him down like in the 20s in rankings.
He's 12 on ESPN as well.
Okay. My fourth tier is full. I got lots of guys here, and so I've got Glasnow at the Dodgers, Skubal Detroit, okay. Freddy Peralta Milwaukee, Dylan Cease, who I think is going to get traded for the White Sox, Blake Snell, who hasn't signed anywhere yet, Framber Valdez in Houston, Logan Webb in San Francisco. And I think you could have more guys than just this, but that's who I put in there. Guys that I would like to have, but I'd like to have them as my third pitcher versus as my top two pitchers, you know. And I'd actually like to get two of these tier four guys on my team and two of the other tiers on my team, or three of the other tiers on my team, and kind of round out my starting pitching with some of these guys.
Okay, so my fourth tier, if you will, is filled of guys that are pretty much at the top of their rotation. And Framber Valdez of Houston goes in this slot, as does Logan Webb of the Giants. I think a guy that people forget about. Mm-hmm. And Blake Snell, I've got in this one where I'm going to reserve the right now to either raise him up or lower him, depending on what situation he winds up in. Yeah. But, you know, you can't ignore the fact that he's a Cy Young winner coming off of last year and one of the few Padres who didn't just wilt completely last year. So I think that once he signs, then that will either solidify that, or I'm sure he's not going to sign for, you know, somebody, let's say the Marlins. Okay. He's not doing that. So, but wherever he winds up is going to dictate. He might stay in this tier. He might move up, depending on what happens.
Yeah, I agree completely. Let's talk through these other things, and then we'll come back. I got some names I want to ask you about, but I'll wait to see if they come up in these other the other conversation that we're having here. But let's start with best value. Maybe it's a sleeper, maybe it's just a good pitcher that's being devalued right now. Who do you have as
four in this particular category?
Okay. Give me what you got.
Okay. So the guys that I have that I think are one of the guys that's really rising in my rankings is Tarik Skobel of the Detroit Tigers. I've got him. He's a guy who's only 27. But he was sent down. He was awful, and he came back up for Detroit and really pitched well. I think the Tigers are going to be one of the more improved teams, and we talked a little bit about that last week. So I like him. He's my number one riser to be found among starting pitchers.
Interesting. So I'm going to get to him when I get to my worst value pitchers.
Oh, no.
So that's good. We disagree. I like it. Okay. I've only got one guy here. Well, I got two guys. The first one that I think is the best value you're going to find this year. And by the time we get to drafts, because we don't draft till closer to the season, this might change. I think his value is going to go up as we get closer. But it's Cole Reagans in Kansas City.
High five on that.
Okay. In 12 games after being traded to Kansas City, a 2.64 ERA, 71.2 innings pitched, 89 strikeouts to 27 walks. He's young. He's talented. He's in a good situation. Whatever you think about Kansas City, he is in a good situation down there. And I think he is going to be a stellar fantasy pitcher this year. He's a guy I'm willing to reach for in this draft. And once I get into my drafts and things like that, because I really think he's going to be a guy that lights things up this year, and he's not going to be. Now I say that, let me temper that a little bit. I'm not saying he should be a first round pitcher, but I'm saying where he's currently valued at. I think he's undervalued, and you can get some great value if he falls in the draft, depending on where you're pitching and things like that. His ADP right now is at 98. So I'm probably looking at taking him in the 80s at the latest at this point. I'm big on Cole Reagans this year.
Okay, so I've got him in this tier as well as you. Two other guys I have in this is one is Grayson Rodriguez of the Baltimore Orioles, because in the first half, he was awful. He had a 7.35 ERA. But then in the second half, he had, in 23 starts, he lowered his ERA to 4.35. And so he was much better. He was 7-4. So pitching for the Orioles, they're a team they're coming off a 100-win season, even though they were young. So they're a team on the rise. I like him. And one of the guys that I really like, even, I'm a Dodger guy. I've got my Dodger jersey on this week. But a guy I put in this is Bobby Miller.
Yeah.
And he's 24 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. And with all the stuff that's going on with the Dodgers, he's been pretty much forgotten about. But he made 22 starts last year, and he was 11-4. So he's a guy that I could definitely see myself targeting. And any of these four guys, really, because they're all younger. They all have great situations. I like these guys. And Cole Reagans is a guy, as you mentioned, even though it's kind of curious because they don't know, is he going to start or close for them?
Everything that I've seen has him at the top of their rotation as opening day starter.
Me too. Until today I looked and they were like, they have him ranked as one of the top relief pitchers. I'm like, wait a second. No.
Well, in leagues that have it set up where you have specific designation for starting pitcher, reliever pitcher, he qualifies for reliever pitcher because he's still labeled as that. Our league, we don't do that. Our league, we just have pitchers go out and put pitchers in. But if you've got leagues that allow you to put him in the relief pitcher position, you got to take him. You cannot miss on Cole Reagans because you're going to load up on that position if you do. No. There's a lot of veterans this year as well, guys like Shane Bieber. that are low ranked that are going to be really, really good values. Let's talk about Dylan Cease, because I have him in this category too. And I know you're an anti-Dylan Cease guy, but I've had him, every year he's been in the pigs. I've had him on a fantasy team, and I love Dylan Cease. I'm really hoping he gets traded. I'm really hoping he finds a new home, because that'll definitely boost his value. But right now you can get him in the 80s or 90s drafting him. And I mean, last year, 32 plus starts in the last 3 years, like each of the last 3 years, at least 32 starts, 177 innings pitched last year, 214 strikeouts or more in each of the last three seasons. Like, he gives you consistency, even though he's on a horrible team.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say that I'm anti Dylan Cease. Last year, I was, because they had him going way high in the draft.
Yeah.
After what he did, because I had him the year before that, and I was like, "Yay!" He was striking out everybody. But they had him going like in the second round last year, and I was like, "No, that's way too high for him." I would like him, and he went out and pretty much proved me right off of his season. I think if he had been traded, as I predicted that he would, and he was not, would have helped him out tremendously. And but if he had been traded, he wouldn't be a value anymore. But he's still on the White Sox, so yeah, he might be a value.
I am pleading that the Brewers trade for him. They've come up in conversations about him before. They've got young outfielders that they can trade, and they've got plenty of them. So go. I start pouring off some of these guys, like Garrett Mitchell and a Joey Weimer and some prospect, throw them in there and go get Dylan Cease. That would put Milwaukee over the top, in my opinion, if they added Dylan Cease to what they've already got in the rotation. So I'm begging them to do this. Will they? My luck is usually not that good, so they probably won't.
Yeah.
But all right, let's get the worst value bust, however you want to point it out.
Okay, so worst value, I also have a caution tier, okay, which I'll call the LA Dodgers tier.
Okay,
because in there, because Tyler Glasgow, we talked about him a year ago. I think he's going way too high. 120 innings, if that's your over under, you're gonna have to get at him in a second or third round at the latest. I don't want him there at all. Same with Yamamoto and then Walker Buehler, he might be a value.
Yeah.
But he's a cautionary.
Yeah, man. Kevin's all choked up talking about the Dodgers and this cautionary tale. Bueller's an interesting one. Bueller's an interesting one for sure. If he's healthy and he comes back and looks anywhere close to he used to, then yeah, he's going to end up being a great value. Glasnow is a great, great one to put in this section because, again, it doesn't give you a lot of innings throughout the year. And if he misses the second half of the season, then it doesn't do you any good to have him on your roster at all because –
right.
Then he doesn't get you to the playoffs, and he doesn't help you once you get to the playoffs. So that's right. One there for sure.
Yeah, so that might, because I've gotten to the playoffs and, of course, went down the drain. And he's one of those guys that might get you, have a great first half.
Yeah.
You might go right to the playoffs from there, but he won't be there when you need him. I agree with you 100% on him. So cautionary tale all the way around on all three of these guys.
I like it. All right, so let's talk about Tyreek Skubal from Detroit. Okay. I've seen him as high as the sixth starting pitcher off the board.
No.
I hope not. But his ADP is at 47, and that's still too high for me with Skubal. Tell me again why you had him higher than actually, I think we had him around the same area as far as tiers go. But what do you like about him, or what do you see his promise?
Because, when he came up, let's see there, he was 7-3, had 102 strikeouts and only 80 innings pitched. And and this is what really got my attention. 102 strikeouts, you know how many walks he had? 14. And that is extraordinarily rare in today's baseball world where they're striking out 180 guys and walking 110.
Yeah.
14 walks he had in just 80 in the third innings. His ERA 2.80, his whip is 0.90. So all of those speak to me of a guy who's rising up in the ranks. And hopefully I'm not spilling the beans, because if he's going in the sixth round, and that's a little high for me even. But I think he's going to have himself a great season this year.
So here's my deal. Last year, only the 80 innings. The year before that, 117 innings. The year before that, 149 innings. He's gone down every year, and that scares me, especially for a young guy. To me, I think there's value with him, but I think he's going to be overdrafted. I think people are going to take him higher than he should be. I think he's going to underachieve compared to where he gets drafted. I mean, his ADP is 47. So in our league, that's, you know, fourth, fifth round. Right, I just cannot. I can't do that.
I'm not going to. No, he's too much of a riser at that level.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah. I'm going to be happy when he gets drafted, because that's going to be a guy that I wouldn't draft at that spot, which means someone else has fallen to me. And I think he's just going to underachieve to where he gets drafted. I don't think he's a bad player. I think he could have a decent year at the very least, but he's going to have to get, I don't know, what does he have to get to, 150 innings? Like, to be drafted where he's getting drafted at right now, he's going to have to do a whole lot more than 80. And I think more than 117 from the year before that. Like, to me, he's going to underachieve where he gets drafted. And so he would be my biggest cautionary tale that I think is just going to be a bad value, because I think guys are going to want to take him early. So if you're a Detroit fan, which, listen, Michigan won the national championship. The Lions are going to the NFC title. Maybe this is the year to go all in on Detroit. I don't know. But Scooball, I'm just staying away from him because I think he's going to get drafted way higher than I'm willing to take him.
Well, when I was coming up with this list, I was thinking him of going somewhere, you know, later than the 10th round.
Oh, wow.
Or a 10th round or so. And
where does ESPN have him ranked at? He's number 10 in Fantasy Pros.
Right here.
Yeah, I've got him at 10 in Fantasy Pros.
They've got him ranked 23rd on ESPN. Wow. So that's why it kind of fueled me a little bit, because 23rd pushes them down the ranking, you know, a little bit. And so,
man,
the people are paying attention to the ESPN rankings. Maybe he can be a draft value.
Yeah.
Because I think he's going to be better than the 23rd ranked starting pitcher.
This is a good reminder to listeners, especially if you're newer to fantasy baseball. Don't look at one ranking. You need to go around and look at everybody, see where they're at, you know, or else you're going to miss out on some guys, or you're going to take some guys too early, or whatever it may be. You know, find a consensus amongst everybody, and it kind of gives you an idea of where you should be drafting them. Because, if you're going off of Fantasy Pros and you take them as the 10th pitcher, it's the other people are going off of ESPN, they got them as the 23rd pitcher. That's a big gap, because you're not pitching straight pitcher, or you're not drafting straight pitchers. So that's a massive gap between when he's getting drafted.
Right. And that's what I wrote about in my first article, because when I sat there and looked at ESPN, they've had Julio Rodriguez ranked really low as an outfielder. I have him ranked in my top 10 overall players to draft in fantasy baseball. And I was just like, this is insanity. So. And if all you were doing was looking at ESPN rankings, thinking, well, I could take a little bit to get Julio Rodriguez. Well, guess what? You cannot do that, because he'll be gone in the first round.
Yes, he will. He'll be gone in the top three picks, top four picks, five picks.
It's certainly possible. Possible.
You brought up the Dodgers earlier. Yamamoto right now has ADP is at 135, which I'm incredibly excited about, because I would be willing to look at him later in the draft. I'm not going to reach on Yamamoto. I need to see what he's got. I'm not taking a risk on him. You're a Dodgers fan, and you're not a biased fantasy player. You don't play fantasy that way.
No, that's how you lose.
Yeah, or, you know, how you get to the championship every year. But anyways, hey, Christian Yelich got me there. But talk to me about Yamamoto a little bit, kind of where his value is and when you think it's a safe time to start reaching for him.
Well, I think somebody is going to reach for him, as we talked a little bit last week. And he's going to go in the top, maybe at least in the top five round, maybe even earlier than that, because he pitches for the Dodgers, for no other reason. And he's going to be right there at the top of their rotation. And he may well turn out to be that guy. But that's too early to me to put down that kind of draft capital when some of these other guys that we just talked about in our rankings, our rate, or our tiers, will be sitting there. And I'd much rather have one of those guys who you know for sure what you're going to get. If he's sliding, what is it, 100, whatever it was you just said, and he's got some value at that spot. But I see him coming off the board way earlier than that. And so, I'm really, really cautious when it comes to him, just because I think people are overblowing him.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he ends up on any of my fantasy teams. I think guys are going to be reaching for him just out of curiosity, which I think is fine. It's just not the way that I play fantasy. I like safer pitchers. I don't like to take risks on pitchers. I'll take risks on guys who've had down years hitting, but not pitchers. I want safety there, and Yamamoto for me is not safe. And if he's there at 135, then yeah, I might take him, but he's not going to be there at 135. He's going to be gone much earlier than that. And it's just not going to end up on my team. What about the Miami guys? You got Yuri Perez, you got Jesus Luzardo. You know, there's some value in those guys. And there has been. Jesus Luzardo is a guy that he kind of bounced around the waiver wire in some of the leagues I was in last year and actually came in handy, for me in places. I don't love that Miami team, but I do like what they can give you value wise with pitchers.
And he's a guy that I have read that the Marlins are in active trade talks with him or for him. And so he might wind up on a team that's much better than they are. But, you know, that's speculation. Yuri Perez was a guy who got sent down to the minors because they didn't want him to get the innings. It wasn't any kind of production related at all.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's a young guy, and he might be one of those, maybe as a sophomore, you know, jinx kind of thing. But I like him a lot. And so if he's a guy who's there later on in the draft, I could see because I had him a year ago, and I had to drop him when he went down to the minors because we don't have any NA spots. I've never been on a league that had any of that.
Yeah.
So, I like his potential a lot.
I want to get out of here because we're up on the hour mark, but I want to hit quickly on Cincinnati. Hunter Green, Nick Lodolo, Graham Ashcraft. Now I live in an area where people are Reds fans. They're saying best team in the division. I mean, this is the year. They're hyping Alexis Diaz, the closer. Now, listen, I'll say this. I like Hunter Green. I'm going to try to get Hunter Green on some of my fantasy teams this year. I like what he can provide fantasy-wise to a team. They also went out and got Frankie Montas. It's their best rotation they probably had in a while. That being said, I don't know. How do you feel the fantasy value is for guys like Hunter Green, Lodolo, even Alexis Diaz, the closer?
Well, those guys, to me, have to take a step back simply because of where they pitch.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Great American Ballpark is a place where you put six runs on them.
Yeah.
And so I like those. Individually, I like some of those guys a lot. But where they pitch, it's not a good fit. It's not a good fit at all. So I probably most likely not be drafting any of them.
I'm going to try to get Hunter Green in several leagues. I like what he can give me this year. I will not draft a Rockies pitcher for the same reason you just brought up. I don't really want a whole lot of Rockies on my team anyhow. We'll talk about them at first base, I'm sure. But, we're going to stick away from Rockies players overall. Okay,
so I know we want to finish, but I'm the downward guys, I'll just mention real quick. Justin Verlander, Yu Darvish, and Max Scherzer.
Okay.
Are my three guys that you have to downgrade simply because they're some of them are 40.
Oh, yeah.
In the case of Max Scherzer, he won't pitch until in the second half, if then.
Yeah.
So, and Yu Darvish, he's been on the downward swing for a while now. And he didn't even have a winning record last year.
Well, that was, you know, that whole season was
tough to overcome that. And so, And his ERA was 4.56. That's ugly. His WHIP was 1.30. That's ugly.
Yeah.
So I'm not going anywhere near any one of those three guys.
Yeah, Yu Darvish is a guy I will take, but it has to be really late. I actually look for him on waiver wire pickups to sometimes get him on the right matchup. Yeah, last year was rough in San Diego all the way around for just about everybody. All right, let's wrap this thing up. A couple things. RighteousFelon.com, use code STOVE15. SeatGeek.com, use the code BellyUpSports. BellyUpFantasySports.com, where you find Kevin's articles. What has come out, or what do you have coming out on BellyUpFantasySports.com?
Well, last week we talked about prospects.
Yep.
And I did write an article about that, which I said that Jackson Holliday is fantasy baseball's top prospect.
Yeah.
We talked about that last week. I think that's true. I think that, and I put down some reasons why that is. And a lot of people, I put it on Reddit, and it was going pretty crazy over there. So that's one article I have. And since we talked about starting pitchers, I'm sure I'll have something that comes out. Not sure how I'm going to, if I'm going to talk about top starters, maybe I'll talk about some of these guys like Cole Reagans. I'll decide that tomorrow. But there will be a starting pitcher article coming out this week on the Belly Up Fantasy website that you can look forward to.
Awesome. I've got stuff coming Wednesday night. Me and Dad will be talking 8 o'clock p.m. on the Sports Stove YouTube page and the Belly Up YouTube page as well. We're talking NFL playoffs and all the latest news. We actually got Lou Gamelin coming on the show to talk about Detroit. He's from Detroit, and he's gonna come talk the Lions and the success there.
Yeah, he should be just over the moon.
Yeah,
right about now. So
yeah, I might as well talk to him, I guess. Lions fans have had a long history.
But he went to the game last week. I don't know if he was going today or not.
I don't think so. I didn't see any pictures of him there this week, but he did go. He did go last week. So we'll talk to him about that, the experience, all that good stuff. Tomorrow night, I also have a local hour show talking about EKU sports. Still lining up the guests, but it looks like someone from the ladies basketball team, someone from the men's basketball team, and the catcher from the baseball team coming on as well. Last week, we talked to the closer. If you're interested in the mindset of a closer, go back and listen to that episode. It's really good conversation there as well. All right, next Sunday, we'll be right back here. And like I said, plan on having our first guest of the season on next week as well. He's Kevin Wilson. You can find him on Twitter at Kevin62, WILSEA. And I'm Vince Stover. You can find me on Twitter at Sports Stove. Hey, thanks for tuning in today to the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. Until next time, we'll see you around the Sports Stove.
Everybody have a